This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page inshallah ta'ala. Today we are on page 170, which is in the ninth juz of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode, we covered the part of the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, Bani Israel, when after Allah azza wa jal saves them from Pharaoh and his armies, by drowning Pharaoh and his armies, the people of Bani Israel at a time when Musa alayhi salam goes to speak to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to receive his commandments and to receive the revelation of the Torah and the tablets, the people of Bani Israel, or a great number of them, they decide to worship the calf in his absence, therefore committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal in the verses that we covered in the last episode mentions to us what took place when Musa alayhi salam returns with the tablets and he finds his people upon this shirk, upon this idol worship of a calf besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how that makes him extremely angry. And in his anger he throws down the tablets and he speaks to his brother harshly and he speaks to his people rebuking them. And how when he realizes, when his brother explains, Harun alayhi salam explains to him his point of view, his context, as to why he didn't do more than what he had already done in terms of rebuking and prohibiting, forbidding his people, warning them against their actions, then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he regains his composure. He turns to Allah azza wa jal, makes dua, asks for Allah's forgiveness and mercy for himself and for his brother. And he picks up the tablets because within them, as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, was a great deal of light and guidance for those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentions to us that the tawbah of Bani Israel, their repentance, was to be in the form of Musa alayhi salam choosing 70 men from amongst them, 70 of their best, that would go and they would go to Allah Azza wa Jalla and they would ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. And in some narrations in the books of Tafsir, it is said that when they came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they then demanded that Allah azza wa jal show himself, that they be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly and directly. And this is mentioned also in the Quran, this demand of theirs. And so because of that demand, Allah azza wa jal destroys them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them with a severe shaking and trembling that causes them to lose their lives. And Musa alayhi salam is humbled before this and turns to Allah Azza wa Jal and once again seeks forgiveness from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verse that we're going to continue with from today, which is verse 156, it is a continuation of that dua that Musa alayhi salam makes at this time. So just to recap, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sees this punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, "Oh Allah, had you wished, you could have destroyed these people before this time," meaning, you know, on a previous occasion. "And me as well, had you wished, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," meaning that Musa alayhi salam is acknowledging his weakness before Allah azza wa jal, that despite his station, despite the honors, despite the accolades that he has to his name alayhi salam by being one of Allah's greatest messengers, he is still only one of Allah's creation, one of Allah's slaves. And if Allah willed to punish him, he could do so subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Musa alayhi salam continues, "So Allah, do not punish us because of the actions of the foolish from amongst us, but rather this is a trial that you send. Through it people are misguided and through it others are guided. You are our protector, so forgive us, have mercy upon us, for you are the best of those who forgive." He then continues with this dua, or in concluding this dua, and what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in verse 156. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ قال عذابي أصيب به من أشاء ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتمها للذين يتقون ويؤتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون. Grant us good things in this world and in the life to come, we turn to you. Allah said in reply, I bring my punishment on whomsoever I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. I shall ordain my mercy for those who are conscious of me and pay the prescribed alms, meaning they give zakah, and who believe in our revelations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse the conclusion of the dua of Musa alayhi salam when he says, O Allah, forgive us. O Allah, have mercy upon us. O Allah, you are our protector. You are the best of those who forgive. وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. O Allah, and grant us good in this world and in this life to come. And that means goodness in terms of knowledge, in terms of good deeds and action, in terms of provision and risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important principle, therefore, that we learn even from the du'as of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is that the believer is not commanded by Allah azza wa jal to ignore the dunya, to ignore this life, to be heedless of their position in this life. The religion doesn't command you to forgo education or forgo a career or forgo earning a living to for yourself and for your family that is halal, that is tayyib, that is pure and good. But rather Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to do those things. And the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla would understand this and they would ask Allah for the best of both worlds. And that is why from the most beautiful comprehensive du'as, as we mentioned on multiple occasions in this tafsir, is the du'a that we mention or that we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, the du'a that all of us know and have memorized. One of the most common du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O Allah, grant us the good of this life and the next life, and save us from the punishment of the fire. So we want the good of both. It's not an either or situation. However, it is understood in the context that the akhirah and that life and that goal and that objective supersedes the goals of the dunya. The goals of the dunya come under the vision, which is the vision of the akhirah. However, we still want goodness for ourselves and our families and our children, for our careers and our wealth and so on and so forth. And to make dua for those things is not a bad thing, it's not an evil thing. And to make dua for that is something which is permissible. However, you often find in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it in a certain way, like he does in the verse that I just recited, that dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, and also in this one, وَاكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, Musa alayhi salam says, O Allah, grant to us goodness in this life. Now that form of goodness differs then from person to person, because for some people that wealth can be good for them. They're going to use it in a good way, they're going to be generous and kind and charitable, but for other people that wealth is a fitna, it's a problem. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jal withholds it from them. So when they ask for hasana, for them hasana means that they don't have a great deal of wealth. For other people it's children, that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them children because they'll do a good job in their tarbiyah and make giving themselves that legacy. Those children will grow up and they will continue to do good. And so they get a share of those rewards that their children perform. But for other people, their children are going to be a fitna and a problem, and they're going to take them away and divert them from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So for them, maybe perhaps it's not a hasana. And so when it comes to the dunya, the Prophet and what we find in the Quran is not necessarily that you specify the dua, even though it is allowed to do so, and there's no problem in asking Allah for an increase in wealth or health or children or a good spouse or a good career or passing your exams or whatever it may be. But we don't really know where that goodness lies. Whereas in the akhirah, it's all goodness. If you're saved from the punishment of the fire, all of the akhirah is goodness for you. However, in the dunya, we don't really know what's good or not. Because as we see in the story of, in the one that we mentioned in the previous episode, those 70 people going to perform tawbah, even though they're going out with a good intention, to doing something good, that flips on them, it changes. And so that then becomes a problem for them, becomes a fitna, as Musa alayhi salam mentions in that verse, in here, illa fitnatuk, it is a trial for us. So all of these stages can be a trial. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ. O Allah Azza wa Jal, give us good in this world and then in the life to come. For we turn to you, and we seek guidance from you, and we seek nearness to you. So Allah Azza wa Jal grant us goodness in this life, in terms of knowledge and action and risk and so on, and in the akhirah in terms of reward. And in terms of the good that comes to the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and he accepts this dua and he says, giving us a wide ranging principle that doesn't only cover this dua for Musa alayhi salam or for Bani Israel, but for all of people. قَالَ عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla responded and he said, I bring my punishment on whomsoever he will. meaning that whoever is misguided, whoever does evil, whoever goes on the path of shirk and kufr, then that is the punishment of Allah. He can cause it to descend upon whomsoever He will, whenever He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something that we've seen throughout, especially the surah, in the stories of the different prophets that we have mentioned to date. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and as for my mercy, that encompasses all things, meaning it encompasses everything, encompasses the earth, meaning this realm, and the realms above us, in the realms of the heavens. It encompasses the believer and even the disbeliever at times. It encompasses the people who do good and even the people who do evil. And there is not a single creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla except that the mercy of Allah encompasses it. And that is the wider, general, more encompassing meaning of Ar-Rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is nothing in existence except that it needs and benefits from some of that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then obviously, as we know, there is a specific mercy, special mercy that Allah Azza wa Jalla only gives to the believers in this life and in the next. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, His mercy is for everyone. And so the punishment of Allah is specific to only those people who do evil. But even the evil people will benefit from the mercy of Allah, because without it, they couldn't breathe and live. Without it, they wouldn't have any rizq. Without it, they wouldn't have children. Without it, they wouldn't have health, and so on and so forth. Even shaitan benefits from that general over-encompassing mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he is outcast and he is taken away from all that is good, because on Yawm al-Qiyamah he will be in the fire. But until that moment, he still has respite. That is a type of mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah allowed him respite until Yawm al-Qiyamah, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, that he has the ability to do certain things. These are from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's mercy encompasses all things. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. And then Allah says that I shall ordain my mercy. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is specific to the people of Iman in this life and the next. That type of mercy, who is it for? Now we're given the descriptions. لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. It is for the people of taqwa, for those who are conscious of Allah, who fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, who work day and night to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. And they give the zakah, meaning it's not just that they have inwardly iman, but outwardly action as well. So they're performing the different obligations upon them. They're sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And they are those who believe in our revelations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 157, He continues and then He says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون. Who are those people who believe in the revelations of Allah, who have taqwa, who give the zakah? Allah Azza wa Jal continues speaking about them in terms of their iman and their belief and their characteristics, and He says that from their major characteristics is they are those who follow the messenger, the little prophet they find described in the Torah that is with them and in the gospel, who commands them to do right and forbids them to do wrong, who makes good things lawful to them and bad things unlawful, and relieves them of their burdens and the iron collars that were on them. So it is those who believe him, honor him and help him, and who follow the light which has been sent down with him, who will succeed. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and says that they are also those who don't just do good or have taqwa or believe in the signs of Allah, because that can apply to the believers of those or people who believe in the previous religions. But there are those who also then believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning after the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you cannot have iman and you cannot be a believer and you cannot be a Muslim until you believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ. They are those who follow the messenger. And just so that it is known which messenger, النبي الأمي, the unlettered prophet, meaning our prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes him therefore as a prophet, as a messenger, as al-ummi, the one who was unlettered, meaning that he wasn't someone who could read and write in the conventional sense. الذين يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل. And these people, because Allah Azza wa Jalla, remember, is speaking about the context of the people of Musa and Bani Israel. So he says, he is the one that they find described in what is in with them, with the Torah, in the Torah and in the Injil, in the Gospel. So they find the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophesizing of his coming sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even his name in certain parts in the scriptures sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They mention all of these there. And that is why, as we've alluded to before, if you look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have those stories, such as the story of Bahira, the monk, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a young man and he goes with his uncle Abu Talib to Sham, and the monk sees him and he says, this man is the Prophet that we are waiting for. The story of Hiraql that is in Sahih Bukhari, the long narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he speaks to Abu Sufyan and he realizes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one that's mentioned in their scriptures. You see it also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in the story of Salman al-Farisi, his long, radiallahu anhu, his long story of his conversion to Islam and how he's being guided in a long-winded way to Medina because of the prophesizing of this man who will come, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophecies that they had within the scriptures that he would come sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they were also given his description, not only in terms of his physical description, such as the seal of prophethood that was described about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the place that he would come, which would be the city of date palm trees, which was Medina, but also his description in terms of what he would do when he arrived upon the earth, what he would bring in terms of his sharia, the types of things or the principles that he would call to, that are the principles that all of the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa sallam called to. What are they? يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He calls them to all that is good, all that is good, that is modest, that is beneficial. And that is why when Abu Sufyan was asked by the Roman Byzantine leader, what does he call you to? That's what he said. He calls us to join the ties of kinship, to be modest, to be good, to be generous. These are the things that all the prophets call to. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And he tells them to stay away from all that is evil. So therefore, anything that breaks the ties of kinship, disrespecting your parents, shirk, kufr, immodesty, anything which causes oppression or transgression towards against others, all of these things, in terms of characteristics, in terms of speech, in terms of actions, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was either calling to or warning against. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And he makes haram upon them that which is evil. And that which is khabith. Khabith is something which is impure, not good, not befitting, in terms of food, in terms of drink, in terms of who they can and can't marry, in terms of what they can and can't say, in terms of the actions that they can and cannot perform. These are the things that they are being told to stay away from. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And he will remove from them their burdens and the iron collars that were upon them, meaning the restrictions that were upon them. Meaning that his religion will be easy. His religion will not be burdensome. His religion will be simple to follow. It will have concessions where there is a need for concessions. It will be merciful to the people. And so this is the religion of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anyone that studied fiqh or the sharia knows this, in terms of how beautiful the religion of Islam is and how amazing it is in terms of its ruling, in terms of its rulings, in terms of its detail, but also in terms of the mercy that is built within it, in every single stage and in every single place, and for every single situation, depending upon your circumstances, as and when it is needed for you. The religion is easy, and it is something which is beautiful. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. So those who believe in him, وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ. And they honor him, and they honor him, and meaning they respect him, and they honor him in terms of his name by saying sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in terms of his life when if he was alive at that time, meaning that they were the companions who were living at that time, in the way that they would sit with him and speak to him and address him, the honor and respect that he deserves sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and after his death in terms of defending his honor and defending his sunnah, wa nasaruh, and they help him in his lifetime by being with him, standing by him, supporting him, fighting alongside him, and after his death by supporting his sunnah, by reviving his sunnah, by honoring his religion, by honoring his teachings sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُ. And they followed the light which was sent down with him, meaning the Quran, and everything that it contains of light, everything that it contains of guidance, everything that it contains of the mercy that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed within it, that they follow therefore His guidance. So look at all of these descriptions that we're being given now. These are people who would recognize the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because they know of him, of his descriptions, they know of his characteristics, they also follow him in terms of their iman in him, and they honor him, and they follow him, and they follow what he brought as well, because that is part of iman. How can you truly love and believe in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but you ignore his sunnah, you ignore the teachings of the Quran, you ignore his commandments, and then you claim to love him? It is a hollow claim. And so the people who have true iman in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or who strive to have that perfect level of, or complete level of iman in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are those people who try their utmost to follow what he left us with Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the people that will be successful in this life and in the Akhirah. They are the ones who will be saved from evil. They are the ones who will be saved from harm. They are the ones who will be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the ones who will be given success in the dunya with regards to their families, with regards to their children, and more importantly in the Akhirah when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the final verse that we'll take today, in verse 158, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, giving a command to the people, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. From him who has control, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. From him who has control over the heavens and the earth. There is no God worthy of worship besides him. He gives life and death. So believe in Allah and His Messenger, the unlettered Prophet, who believes in Allah and His words and follows Him, so that you may find guidance. So after mentioning this command, or after mentioning this description rather in the previous verse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now the command is being given, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being ordered to say to the people, calling, for example, the Jews and the Christians and the people of Bani Israel and others, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am Allah's messenger to all of you. So the other prophets, as we know, were sent each one to their own people. Musa alayhi salam is sent to his people, Isa to his people, Ibrahim to his people, Nuh to his people. But I have been sent to all of you, the Arabs and the non-Arabs, irrespective of where you live, what your language is, what your ethnicity is, your skin color, and so on and so forth. I have been sent to all of you, the people of the scriptures of before and other than them as well. And I have come to you from Allah الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض, the one who controls and has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Meaning he does as he pleases. He controls as he wishes subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore from his dominion and his control is that he chooses who he sends as his messengers and where he places them and who they are sent to and who must follow them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who decrees all of this. لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت. He is the one who is alone worthy of worship. None is worthy of worship besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the giver of life and the giver of death, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي. So believe in Allah and in his messenger, the unlettered prophet. Meaning believe in this messenger who has come to guide you to the correct path and the straight path. In terms of your belief, in terms of your deeds, in terms of your actions, in terms of your words, believe in him. الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. The one who believes in Allah and in his words, and follow him so that you may find guidance. Meaning that you will be guided therefore to what is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. You will be guided to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in these verses, the people of Bani Israel, and other than the people of Bani Israel, are told that from the path or the only way to success after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come is to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is important here because the context of the wider verses is that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam commanded his people with something, and then in his absence they disobeyed him and they turned away from Allah azza wa jal. The following of the Prophet is essential. every messenger to his people, it is essential to follow them, because it is only through their guidance that you understand what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from me and from you. We don't have revelation coming to each of us individually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The revelation that comes to mankind is through the prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jal anoints and chooses subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his coming, there is no path to iman, there is no path to tawheed, there is no path to success or to the love and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except through following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to do so, and by doing so, then you have taken, inshallah ta'ala, the path that leads you to guidance, the path that leads you to success, the path that will give to you the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and all that is good in this life and the next. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us those from amongst those who sincerely and truly and fully, as much as is humanly possible, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who love him, who honor him, who support him, and who follow his teachings. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.